good to see you again here on another Bible study day. And we've got a real good...
Our text today, scripture, comes from... This was probably written by a student or a protege, so to speak, of Isaiah. Those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we all become a part and are adopted into that family.
And God is going to give you an opportunity to be good, kind, to elevate, to help somebody.
All right, we're going to get right into our lesson today. And we've got a real good lesson. Welcome to our Wednesday Bible study. Thank you for being here with us on today or on tonight. Whatever time you're watching this, we appreciate you. And thank you for being a part of what we get to do here in our Wednesday in the Word. All right, we're going to open up the Word of God. We're going to be in the book of Galatians today. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 is our area of study. Go there to Galatians chapter 5. Beginning today at verse number 16. So we got 10 verses that we're going to study. Galatians 5 verses 16 through 26. Paul is getting ready to wrap it up here. So Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And our topic is choose wisely. That's our topic, choose wisely. So please make sure that you choose wisely. Choose what? Well, I hope you choose life, not death. I hope you choose right, not wrong. So let's make sure that we keep that in our minds in regard to what we're choosing. Now, keep in mind that the Apostle Paul on last week in our lessons in Galatians, he was highlighting the importance of the knowing the difference between the flesh and the spirit, spirit and the flesh, and noting that, you know, when you attempt to follow the law, that you were not going to be able to follow the law. He really highlighted that because keep in mind, you're talking about a works righteousness. If you think that you're able to keep all of the tenets of the law, you cannot do it. But when you bind yourself to feast days, you bind yourself to certain dietary rules and restrictions, when you bind yourself to those kinds of things, to circumcision, when you bind yourself to that, then he's saying you can't say that you're going to keep only part of the law. Now, once you get in there, you got to keep all of it. But thank God for faith. Faith, then, trust in God. Faith, which leads us to being justified, justification by grace through faith, which means that we are made right with God because of our trust in Him, because we received Him as our Savior, then you're able to beat back and beat down the flesh. And that is a hallelujah, because you cannot do it by yourself. The law will just condemn you. And I'm doing a recap. The law is just going to condemn you. I mean, it just is. But thanks be to God, He delivers us. Condemnation versus deliverance. So we're picking up from there. As Paul was upset, remember last week, he was upset because he wanted to know who messed up your head, who vexed you, who has influenced you negatively. And it was the Judaizers. So today, in today's lesson, what Paul is doing, he's bringing this to a dramatic a climax, so to speak. And he's arguing today in this lesson against the nature of the flesh. Hello. I mean, and it's what we all deal with. Because when we are talking about the flesh in this context is, it's a negative connotation. Because flesh meaning desires meaning lust. You become so selfish trying to quench that thirst that the flesh has, you name it. Now, in this context, he's just breaking it down. He's talking about sexual immorality, talking about those kinds of things that just get a hold of your mind. And without giving yourself over to Christ, giving yourself fully over to Him, it will control your mind. So Paul is dealing with these particular matters on today. All right. So let's get right into our lesson in regard to Paul and the flesh and how we ought to live our lives as the children of God. In verse number 16, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, he says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Oh, I hear you, Paul. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, what he's saying is that when you are walking, you are living, that's your lifestyle. When you're living in accordance to the will of God, lifestyle, he says that you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Because what happens is when you work to intentionally avoid that defilement, then you are feeding the right kind of food, if you would, to your soul. Let me really break this down. Junk in, junk out. If I eat candy all day, I'm going to mess up my teeth. If I eat candy all day, I'm not going to be feeling good at the end of the day because I'm not putting nutrients into my body. It's the same with studying the Word of God. If you don't feed yourself the Word of God, then when those temptations come, you're going to be overcome by those temptations. Whatever it is you're feeding your soul, that then will cause you to fall to the desires of the flesh. I mean, it just will. You think about it. I mean, if you're married. So I'm getting ready to give you a real graphic example. Y'all, you don't have to hold your ears, but you know what I'm saying. If you are in a relationship with someone and you're not married and you all have agreed in your relationship as a single person to be celibate, then you need to be careful about what you see or what you expose yourself to. Because if you are in that kind of a relationship and you've already have experienced intercourse, maybe when you were married and now you're divorced and you're trying to live a given kind of life, or you are a single person and you are waiting to give up your virginity upon marriage, you can't keep tempting yourself with pictures, sure enough, pornography, but with movies that will draw you into that space and get your mind to moving. Are you with me? You need to watch G-rated stuff or PG or something like that. Something that will not cause your mind to go there. Because what happens is, if you allow your mind to go there, you're going to stay there, and then you're going to have a certain internal desires. You might be giggling at me right now, but I'm real serious. If you are an alcoholic, and by the grace of God, you've been sober for a given period of time, you know that you can't have a sip of anything that is an alcoholic beverage. Because what you'll do is you're going to trigger that desire in your mind again, and then you're going to slip and you will fall. You will partake in that. If pornography is your issue, is your problem, you got to cut that way off. And I really mean this. I'm giving you straight talk because I believe that I'm talking to adults on the other side of that camera. Y'all, the scripture is clear. Walk in the Spirit. That means you need to be intentional. You need to study the Word of God. Walk in the Spirit. You need to be in worship. Walk in the Spirit. You need to be in a Bible study. Walk in the Spirit. You need to build a devotional lifestyle. You need to be in Scripture. Walk in it. It needs to be who you are. But let me tell you something. Sanctification is a process. Salvation is instant. Sanctification is a process. You got to start practicing on being that person that you want to be. You got to practice it. Just like practicing, just like walking or running or whatever your routine is. You need to develop new routines, ladies and gentlemen. You got to develop them and avoid anything that can defile your mind. Verse number 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. When he says the flesh, the way of the flesh, y'all, desires that the working of the Spirit in a believer's life would be thwarted. I mean, it's just that way. Where you got carnal desires which is your natural unsaved side before you were saved. Carnal desires, you have those things that want more attention. They want more of you. You know, if you were a cusser, you understand you're trying to stop, but then you get drawn right back into it. If you're a gambler, a cheat, you get drawn right back into that. But the two work against each other. The flesh lusts against, key word here, against the spirit. When you say lust against, it's alluding to the sinful acts, you see, of the scripture says, and the writer would say, for example, in Romans 7:7, the sinful acts of coveting. Let me read that, as a matter of fact. So in Romans 7:7, the word of God says, "What then shall we say, that the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.'" The flesh wants control of the total man or the total woman. It wants control. And the spirit against the flesh. When you're talking about the spirit working against the flesh, then a person who is attempting to live an upright life is going to act on those things that are spiritual, because that is where you're attempting to reset yourself. Amen. That's where you're attempting to do your reset. No, I'm gonna act like I act. I'm gonna live like I live, because I know that if I walk outside of the presence of God, I'm going to slip and do those things that brought me harm and that brings about consequences that I don't want to try to handle. Amen. You grown. So you grown enough to sin. Yeah, if you want to knock yourself out, but you do not control the consequences. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, a person cannot at the same time embrace fully the flesh, and you can't embrace fully the spirit. You can't live that way. These ways are contrary. They are opposite. God's spirit has, praise him, the spirit of God has provided us a way out of the desires of the flesh. Something else that you need to keep in mind. God gives us a way out of every temptation. It might be split second. It might be split day. It might be week. It might be months. God gives us a way out of temptation. Anytime you have reservations about doing something that you know is not right, the reservation that you have, the pause that you experience, is meant to give you an opportunity to say no, to give you an opportunity to step out and step away from those thoughts and that behavior. Amen. Yes, it does. Verse number 18 says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Again, Paul is reminding us that by being born of God, we have freedom from the law. And praise be to God, because we get to follow the Spirit gives us freedom from the law, then we are no longer bound by the flesh and no longer bound by our sinful behavior. Amen. Woo! Take a deep breath. You think about that. If you've been born again, you cannot any longer say, "The devil made me do it." If you've been born again, you cannot say, "I just couldn't help myself." Oh, no. If you have been born again, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Choose wisely. Choose life, not death. Choose righteousness, not sinfulness. Oh, yes, you can. Verse number 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness." He's talking about our physical behavior. He's talking about the way that we handle ourselves in regard to our thoughts. Amen. He says the works of the flesh are manifest. He says this is what it looks like when you allow your flesh to take over, to rule your life. This is what it is. Now, let me say this. He says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Let me make this very clear to you. Don't think that just because you don't do these four things, you're fine. You know what Paul is talking about. This is not an exhaustive list because it probably could be a long list. But what he's highlighting are the ills, or he's highlighting the wrongness. Or he's highlighting the sinful behavior that comes from a person who is led by the flesh. Adultery. Y'all know what that is. That's an extramarital affair. And you ain't just smacking and kissing. You doing the nasty. All right. Y'all laughing, but you know what I'm saying. I said it might be kids on the line. You know what I'm saying? All right. Fornication. Same thing. You are having sex either before marriage, or you're having sex outside of marriage with a person who is not married, but you are, or if it's two unmarried persons having sex, that's fornication. Not only that, but then he says uncleanness. Uncleanness results from improper sexual acts. All right. Improper sexual acts. Improper. So if you're married, and the Bible is clear that the wedding bed, you know, the marriage bed is undefiled. What y'all doing there is y'all's business. All right. I don't need to know what y'all doing. Don't be telling me. I don't want to know. You understand what I'm saying? If you're married, you do all kinds of. But understand, if you are having sexual relations outside of the bonds of marriage, and you are involved, oh, I'm going to get ghetto today. You're involved in freaky deaky behavior. Y'all know what freaky stuff is. He's saying that in itself is a symptom, is symptomatic of a person who is allowing the flesh to lead their life. And then he says lasciviousness. That's uncontrolled and shameless stuff. That's Lord, Paul, you're making me blush, Paul, this today. That's doing nasty stuff, and other folks see you. You know, you understand what I'm saying? That's yeah, amen. Okay, I think you got it. I think you got it. All right, verse number 20 says, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Boy, he's given us a long list here. He's laying it out. So the list that we read in verse number 19, that was with your body. Here we're talking about worship and where your devotion is on a spiritual basis. So his second group concerns idolatrous acts of worship. And you know what idolatry means? Idolatry involves replacing worship of the one true God with worshiping another little g, a little god. It doesn't have to always be a symbol of anything, a little wooden carving, because there are material things that people worship. You understand? So when he's talking about here, idolatry is anything that you put in front of God. Now, what does your list look like? I'm not meddling. I'm asking a question. What does your list look like? You can tell folk who ain't ever had anything because they just lose it. They lose their minds in trying to get it. Oh, don't sit on that. Oh, wait a minute. You know, my God, I mean, you can clean it. You understand what I'm saying? That when that becomes your idol or your focal point in life, that's idolatrous. All right. That is anything that exchanges, the writer says, exchanges God for a lie. Yeah. See, because anytime you allow something to serve as a God replacement, that's a lie. That's the kind of life we would be leading, a lie. Then when he says witchcraft is the attempt to use physical objects or rituals, if you would, in an attempt to manipulate the spiritual world. Amen. There is more than one realm. You got the earthly realm and you have the spiritual realm. Are y'all with me? And there are times when people attempt to manipulate the spiritual world. First of all, we don't really have, now some people conjure up some stuff. It's, you know, I see some of y'all right now saying, man, look, I'm from Louisiana. I understand. I know people have voodoo dolls and all that kind of stuff, which is, it's just anti-Christian. It is anti-Christian. All right, but what he's saying is anybody who's trying to manipulate that realm, that world, that is an act of the flesh. And you're trying to manipulate it through, you know, putting spells on people. There are individuals who really believe in that. And let me tell you something. Satan has some power, too. Don't get me wrong. But you know why that doesn't bother me? We've been covered by the Holy Spirit, y'all. Amen. So I've had people tell me or say to other folk, they're going to put a curse on me. I'm telling you, I am not lying to you. I am not lying to you. I remember that there was a person, I'm not going to give the gender, there was a person who said just that about me several years ago. Hell, he think he is. I'm going to do this to him. And the last time I checked, there was another individual that came to me asking me to pray for that person because now they couldn't walk. I ain't do nothing to them. I ain't say nothing. They were going to put the curse on me. And they ended up being the one needing to call the pastor to come pray for them. Amen. Amen. So you need to really understand the power that we have when we are covered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if it's any superstitious person on the line, any superstitious person looking at this today, you need to be mindful of the fact that the devils in hell cannot conquer nor defeat you, nor can they lay a trap for you and you get snared or caught in it, because God is the one who helps us to navigate the landmines of life. Praise be to God. Then we have hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Well, you know what hatred is? That's the spirit of hostility toward another person. And it's a thin line. Y'all know that song. It's a thin line between love and hate. Isn't it? Y'all ever seen some of these relationships where they lovey-dovey for about a year or maybe a month or maybe a good week? They just like they found heaven on earth. And then give some time, let one or two of them do something. They hate the guts. They want to go chop the head off. I mean, you know, hatred. If you can hate a person and it not bother you, you better go back and check your faith. You better go back and check your Christianity. And I mean that. Variance. Variance is a general description of the feelings of hostility among people. I mean, that's just this, a person who participates in variance is, and it's just that. I mean, look at the root. The root of variance is vary. I mean, it's just an individual who just can't ever be fine, can't ever be in harmony with anybody. Y'all know people like that? Everywhere they go, here come trouble. Everywhere they go, I mean, they cause some mess. Everywhere they go, they're the gossiper. Everywhere they go, who shot John? This is the person who is portraying variance. Then you have emulations. Now, emulation in the King James is speaking to people that have jealous passion. I mean, you know, we cannot celebrate when God does something awesome in somebody's life. Rather than celebrating with them, we start hating on them. That is a person with the issue of emulation. I believe, and I was taught this. I was taught this by my brother, Justice Awadola and Elizabeth Awadola. Lisa and I, Lord, when we got married 35, almost 36 years ago, we didn't have anything. Every piece of furniture we had came from somebody and somewhere. Parents already thought we was crazy for getting married in college, and we were. But we were married. My baby's, the car she had, her daddy had rebuilt the engine in it. He painted it himself. I ain't lying. This is true. I ain't making this up. My car that I had just been repossessed. I thought I could hide it in the backyard, but oh God, they knew how to find it. And so I got this cash car that was a stick shift. It was a 5-speed. Y'all, it was a mess. When Lisa and I finally got a new car, Justice and Elizabeth Awadola were living. We were living in the Oculus Apartments. They were living next door. I said, Justice, come see my car, my new car. Man, we got us a new car. Man, them people saw that car. They start jumping, hollering, and praising God. Me and Lisa looking at each other like, what's wrong with them? It's our car. I mean, they were so happy for us. We need to learn how to be happy and celebrate one another. The devil divides us because of this issue, the issue of emulations. We can't celebrate one another. What's so wrong with you to where you can't find it in your spirit to thank God for what he's done in somebody else's life? My God, Africans have lost the whole continent because they let people pit them against each other. And it's a mess today. It is. It is. Amen. Well, it is. It is. And some of us are a mess today to our families. Wrath. Y'all know what wrath is. This is a person with a bad mindset. Always mad. Running around with their lip poked out or frowned up, looking crazy. Then you got strife. Strife is people who love to cause mess when hostile groups try to advance their own interests. You get three or four folk. Let me tell y'all something. I'm going to try not to make this too contemporary. But I learned this, that in most groups, when the groups break up, in most churches, when the church split up or somebody leaves, it's not the majority. It's just a few people that stirs up enough mess. They make enough noise to where the other folk get tired of hearing them and they go move on. If you want to kill your church, you let three or four folk keep acting the fool and don't confront them and don't hold them accountable. It's the same in your family. Amen. You got to deal with that thing. I mean, now it's not going to feel good. Somebody's going to get away and say they hate your guts and they really don't mean it, but they're going to say it. They're going to mean it at the time. But you cannot allow yourself to get caught up in strife. In strife. Then also you have seditions. Seditions is the interpersonal strife to the point of causing a division. This is amen. Interpersonal, you know, when you got a seditious person, that individual that is not secure within themselves is that one. It seemed like all these follow the same line of thinking. A person who is not satisfied within themselves is going to take that dissatisfaction somewhere else. We got to be careful, y'all. Listen to me. You got to be careful about hanging around pessimistic people. Amen. Be careful about hanging around pessimistic people. I want to pull something else up in regard to this particular text around verse number 20 here. Let me read it. Let me read it from another translation. When you're talking again, when you're talking about seditions, you're talking about dissensions, you're talking about a division. And that's what's important. So, again, when you're looking at that term strife, as a person that's divisive, when you're looking at the term seditions, that is as well an individual who is given over to somewhat of they're almost like drunk on themselves. All right. Heresy is an individual that continues to propagate false beliefs about God, false beliefs that eventually leads to differences of opinion in a community and breaks up that community. So when you look at verse number 20, and you see how he's laying it out, he's talking about that kind of behavior that divides people up. If you know people like that, you need to lead them to Christ. They're already Christians. No, they like what they hear. They love the worship. But you can worship and it not really be in you. Amen. Amen. Verse number 21 says, he's still giving this list. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such. Envyings is just that. You know, this is the person who is selfishly at odds with other individuals because you envy them. Listen, ain't no need of you being mad because God blessed somebody else. Amen. And you want to be like them, you know, and you can always tell a person that has this issue when they say something like, she thinks she's something. No, you think she's something, because if you didn't think she was something, you wouldn't have said that in the first place. Amen. Murder. Y'all know what murder is. You just kill somebody. You take their whole life away from them. Drunkenness is the overindulgence in anything. Drunken. Overindulgence in anything that causes self-destruction. Let's keep going. Revelings. A reveling person is a person that is always stirring up something. You know, they're just immoral. They're just nasty. Their talk is nasty. Their lifestyle is nasty. Amen. And then verse 21, second part, 21b. Of thee which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, wait a minute. 2022. You mean to tell, don't be trying to judge me. I'm not judging you. If you are displaying these kind of characteristics, I ain't judging you, especially if you're displaying this in my face. If you're displaying this in my face, I'm not a judge. I'm an eyewitness. And as an eyewitness, I'm telling you, if you keep living like that, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You will not inherit it. Paul is making it clear that if you don't do this, if you don't allow the Spirit of God to transform you, then you are going to hell. That's what he says. If you're living that kind of life, if you're doing those kind of things, amen, I'm sorry about hurting your feelings, but right is always right. It's in the Word, and the Word is clear. Amen. Whole denominations are breaking up. As I speak, whole denominations, United Methodists, fighting with each other over the issues of morality. You've got Presbyterians fighting with each other. Got Baptists fighting with each other. I don't want to hurt their feelings. You ain't hurting somebody's feelings. It is not on you. It is not on you. When you are telling the truth will stand on its own. Amen. You got kids right now walking around smelling like little weed boxes in your house. Now you do what you want to do out there, but you don't get to do it in my house. Amen. No, you do what you do in your house, but not in my house. Because if it's done in my house, I'm going to tell you about yourself, especially since I'm paying the bills. Amen. Well, they ain't going to speak to me no more. Well, you better find somebody else with some lips, teeth, and tongue. Amen. And with some air that can verbalize to you certain things. Amen. All right, moving right along. In verse number 22, the Word of God said, but, praise be to God, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Amen. Paul gives us two things to look at. He gives us choices to make. This is what it looks like if you follow the flesh. He says, but, praise be to God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Amen. That's the whole verse. The fruit of the Spirit produces love. Amen. The Spirit produces love. Love for your neighbor. The Spirit produces love. Love that is demonstrated through self-sacrificing. Love, the love that is produced through self-giving. Love, it produces also joy. Joy is a feeling of satisfaction that is not dependent upon your present or past circumstances or situations. Praise be to God. This joy I have didn't come because this is a great day. It might be a horrible day, but I still have the joy of the Lord in my spirit because I know that no matter how bad my day is, if I'm giving it over to God, if I'm placing it in the Master's hands, if I'm saying, you know what, Lord, I can't handle this. You know what, Lord, it's too big for me. But Father, because I've seen you do it in me before, through me or around me before, I know that you can do it again. Praise be to God. I've got joy that does not depend on my circumstances. Listen, y'all. If you only feel a certain way, feel good only under certain circumstances, you don't have joy, you have happiness. Happiness and joy is not the same thing. Because a person who is happy, look at the word. H-A-P-P. Well, if you take the Y, drop the Y, and put an E in as a suffix, it's happen. Whatever happens on that day determines my attitude and my outlook for the day. That's happenstance. Ain't trying to deal in happenstance. Dealing with joy that is in me because of the security that I have that is given through Christ Jesus our Lord. Peace. Peace here. Peace here. Stay with me. We're still in this in verse number 21. Verse number 22. Peace does not simply mean the absence of distress. No, this peace is one that a person has when they have learned how to depend and rely on the all efficiency, the all sufficiency. That's my term. The all sufficiency of God. God is all sufficient. Everything I need is all sufficient. I don't have to worry because I belong to God. He's going to feed me. He's all sufficient. I'm not worried because he's going to take care of me. He's all sufficient. God is all sufficient. Then he says long suffering. Amen. That means you get to put up with stuff. That's a patience that we develop in response to wrong treatment. That's patience. Long, so I'm going to suffer long. Yeah, you mistreated me. Now, I'm not just sitting here letting you mistreat me, but you did. You dug a ditch for me thinking I'm going to fall in it. You lied on me. You attacked my character. You know what you did. You turned your back on me. You tried to use me up. Amen. But oh, I'm going to hang on in there. I'm not going to hurt myself. I'm not going to hurt anybody around me. I am not going to quit on life. I am not going to quit on God. God, thank you. The Spirit helps us to suffer long. Oh, but something come when you suffer long, preacher. What is it? When you learn how to suffer long, then you can handle trials and tribulation. Amen. It sure will make you gentle, won't it? Amen. That's part of verse number 22. Gentleness. That speaks of a person's disposition. Amen. You got some folk that you run away from, and you got other people you run to because they have a gentle disposition. They have a calming. They have an entreatable. They have an approachable disposition. And then you go from there. Then you go to kindness. Kindness is an attribute that marks the collective people of God. God's people ought to be folks who exercise goodness. It is the mark of a child of God to show goodness and kindness to people that he or she comes in contact with. And faith, this faith, when he says faith, refers to the faithfulness required between believers. You got faith. See, since I am operating in the Spirit, I thank God because of my faith. What do you mean, preacher? I'm saying that he helps me to remain faithful. In other words, I'm able to keep my word. I do a good job when I'm doing my job. And I'm also the kind of person that you can depend on. That's the kind of faith that he is talking about. Then as we wrap up here, verse 23, 24, 25, 26, 23, it goes on with the list. It says meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Yeah, meekness implies strength under control. It is self-discipline. That's what meekness is. Meekness is self-restraint. Even in the midst of a disagreement, I don't have to reach up and choke you because of a spirit of meekness. Then temperance is self-control. I got meekness. I've got temperance, and against that there is no law. That's just in the person. Amen. And the person doesn't get it without the Holy Spirit being in the person. 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Amen. Crucify the flesh. That means that you have, praise God, you have beat back. That means you have destroyed. That means that you have put to rest those messed up behaviors that we used to have, that war that we have going on, that you won the war between the flesh and the spirit. You have won that war. And then he says it again. If you live in the spirit, then you ought to also walk in the spirit. Yeah. See, you can't live in the spirit if you don't walk in it in the first place. Are y'all with me? Because the Spirit of God is what leads us and brings us to a life of righteousness. I'm not saying you're going around mumbling scriptures. I'm not saying that you know, every time somebody says, I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is that you are attempting to live an upright life. And in living that life, then it is part and parcel of who you are in God and God in you. Praise be to God. Final verse, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Lord have mercy. How many people you know have quit serving in the church because the pastor forgot to call their name? Oh my goodness. How dare he be human? Or your mission president, how dare she be human? Oh, they didn't give me no plaque. They gave Earlene one. They didn't give me. Oh, really? You tripping like that? For real? You know, don't do anything hoping to get accolades. No, you do it because you love God, and you do it because God deserves our best. Why? Because he gave his best. He gave his son. Don't desire vain glory. That just leads to discord in the community, provoking one another. You know, provoking occurred when people were diverted away from the ways of the Spirit and resulting good works. I mean, you know, when you find yourself provoking one another with your foolishness, provoking one another with your bad attitude, provoking one another by speaking down to an individual, all you're doing is working on behalf of the adversary. He says, so then, with that in mind, don't envy one another either. Praise God for what he gave you. Use what you have. And the more you use it, the more you'll discover that God will allow his Spirit to produce more giftedness in you. And when you think that you have gotten to that place where you are all fixed up, don't need any other gifts. I don't need anything else. You need to understand that God just keeps on stretching us because we don't know what's in us until it's challenged. Whew. Choose. Make the right choices. Choose righteousness. Choose wisely. May the Lord God bless you. May God keep you. That's our lesson for today. Let us pray together at this time. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come loving, thanking you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for wrapping your almighty and loving arms of protection around us. Thank you, Lord God, for being our guide in all things. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the power that is in your word. Touch your heart, soul, and mind. Make them to know that, Lord God, there's no better choice to make than choosing you as our Christ, our Savior, our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. It is in that name that we pray. Thank you, Lord, and amen. May God bless you. May God keep you. Have a good Wednesday. I'll see you Sunday if it's the will of God.
Wow, what an amazing lesson we heard just now. We're very grateful for our very own teacher, and we are grateful for you. We're thankful for the work that you continue to do through your giving. Now, if you want to be part of that, you will see that there are various ways of being able to give. Through your giving, we are able to help feed the needy, help clothe the naked, and help those that are in need. And we are thankful for being the church in the community. Whether it's giving online, whether it's paying your tithes in person, we thank God for each and every one of you.